Chapter 12, book of Luke, and messing around a little bit this morning, but you know what? Sometimes we need to laugh a little bit. I remember Gertrude Harrington so well. She apologized to me one day, and she says, Pastor, I hope you don't get upset that I joke around and do some stupid things from time to time. That was a lie. It was most of the time. And I hope you don't mind me. She says, you know, a lot of people come to church, they're hurting, and they've had a hard week, and you know, if they can laugh at something, it really helps. And she says, so I try to provide that for them. She had such a sweet spirit about it. It was marvelous. Those of you who remember Gertrude, one of my favorite stories of Gertrude, as you know, she was one of the most innocent people I think I've ever met in my life. I don't know if she listened to the radio ever. She didn't watch TV. And she wasn't involved in all that stuff. If you mentioned drugs to her, she thought you were talking about going to the drugstore. And, you know, just that kind of a lady. Can you imagine her? Back in the days when they could smoke on a plane, she was sitting right next to the bathroom. And, man, people just kept coming by and using the restroom and leaving. And pretty soon somebody came out, and there was a soldier boy about two seats in front of her. He jumped up. And he had been smoking a cigarette in his hand, and he jumped up to run to the bathroom, and he realized he couldn't take it in with him, and he says, here, hold this. And she instinctively reached out and grabbed the cigarette and sat there and looked at it for the next 5 minutes, trying to figure out what to do with it, and he came back out. Anyway, I thought it was funny. Verse number 13, I'm sorry, let's get at it. Verse number 13 says, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he, the rich man, thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said to his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of those things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, and neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege of music, how it blesses our soul. Thank you for that which you laid upon Brother Mark's heart this morning to sing to us. And I pray, O God, as the day goes forward, that you would continue in that vein. We pray now in these moments, we look into your word, that you might empower with your sweet Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts, O God. We need you, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I believe one of the most difficult times in a family is when Grandma dies and everybody wants something that is hers. Most often, one wants more than the others. And then there are certain items that are cherished more than others. And the problem that takes place is that there can become some very heated and horrible fightings within families. And the one who passed away, if they knew such things would happen with the things they left, would have probably set a match to it the day they perished. It seems as soon as Jesus had spoken on the importance of allowing the Spirit to give us the words to answer, is what we looked at last week. If you notice in verse 12, the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say, that he's bombarded by one who wants a favorable decision in the matter of their inheritance. And I find it very interesting because the Lord has what I describe as a threefold answer to his question. First of all, he tells him he did not come as a judge, but as a savior. There will be a time that he comes as judge. I don't know about you, but thank God he didn't come the first time as judge. But he did come to die upon the cross to bear our judgment that we might be saved. We find that he also takes this opportunity, this occasion, to teach them on the sin of covetousness. And basically it's this: life does not consist in your belongings. If you have belongings, praise God. If you don't have belongings, praise God. Life is not wrapped up in what you own. And the third thing I believe we find that this particular text affords us is that covetousness will bring separation of brethren. I remember one year, several years ago, we met at Christmas time. We met up in the old auditorium area, and we gathered around in a great big circle, and everybody was supposed to bring what we call a white elephant gift. My wife had not heard the thing the other day. Have you ever seen an elephant hiding in a tree? Do you know why? Or have you? Anybody ever seen an elephant hiding in a tree? Nobody has. It just shows how good they are. Come on, folks, wake up. Anyway, we had a round robin elephant gift exchange. So what it meant is you brought something that wasn't junk, but it wasn't really valuable to you anymore. It was around your house, but it was almost like, praise God, I got a way to get rid of this and somebody can use it. And so you were to wrap that up and bring it. Everybody had one of those gifts. And I don't remember exactly, but I think they're all put in the middle, and then somebody was chosen to be first. And what they did was somebody would take it to them, a gift, and they would open that gift. And in some cases, they were like, really? In other cases, like, wow. Then the next person, they would have their gift come to them. Here was the catch in the whole thing. When you got your gift, you had the opportunity to exchange it with whoever else was in the room that already got their gifts. Okay? So, if you was like number five, you could go back to number one and exchange. You could only do it once, but you could exchange with it. And it's supposed to be fun. And it's supposed to get everybody all excited and everybody laughing and so forth. But I want to tell you something. There were some angry people because they had something that looked like it was of value to them and somebody else wanted it and they had to give it up. And the Christmas spirit disappeared. Covetousness can bring separation of brethren. We understand there's something far greater than having riches. And I would just use this word, relationships. Relationships. It's not what you have but who you have it with. I've said this many times, it's not what you do, but who you do it with. Relationships are far more important. And so here we find a man who leaves all of his stuff, and one of the boys is upset because he's not getting what he wants to have. One day there was two men, they was alongside the road, and here comes a funeral procession. And they knew that it was a very rich man who was in the casket that was riding in the coach. And one of them looks and he says, "I wonder how much he left." And the other answered, "All of it." And so the Lord's trying to get us to understand something very, very important here. And so he uses this opportunity of a brother who seems to be more concerned with what he might get than the father that they lost. And so he gives to us this parable. And he gives us a parable of a rich man, no doubt a farmer, because we're talking about barns, and how he had much fruit, and because he had so much, he needed more space to store it, and so he's going to tear that down, build some bigger ones. And finally he stops and looks at all of it, and he said, "Man, soul, you've got a lot of stuff laid up. You can retire. You can retire." And the Lord's trying to emphasize a tremendous truth. If a man is more interested in his wealth and his well-being in eternity, there is something wrong. Because he was looking at his soul, he was looking at what took place here on earth. He wasn't looking ahead. And he speaks to his soul, that which is earthly, rather than to his spirit. His sight into the future is very limited. And I hear so many folks in this old world of ours, how they're doing this and this and this other thing, that they might retire and enjoy life. By the way, I am sorry you're not enjoying it until that time. What a sad thing it is. You got to turn 65 before you can enjoy life. Amen? And so that's the thought that is there. And so they do all this stuff and they get all this stuff gathered together. And they think that it's marvelous and wonderful, but they're not prepared for eternity. They're not prepared for some of the things that can be thrown at you in old age, besides the problem of finances. And foolish is the man whose wealth is only in this life. He will lose it all. Have you ever considered this? The rich man in this parable, it's not said so, but it might have been these two brothers' father, making that parable even more powerful in my mind. And he says, "Thou fool." Verse 21, he sums up, says, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, is not rich toward God." Where real rich is that? There in God. Verse number 22, it starts with the word "and." It's connecting it, so it's just going on with the whole thought. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Take no thought for your life. Basically, he's saying to him, don't worry about it. You know, of all the professions in this world, worry wart is not a good one. It will keep you up at night. It will upset your tummy. And it gives you absolutely no peace. It's not there. There's a strange thing about worry. It never makes a situation better. Have you noticed that? And yet we want to do it for some reason. And he says, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. Life is so much more than a temporal. Even the food we eat and the clothes we wear. The Lord Jesus on one occasion in John chapter 4, He spoke of meat which they knew not of. And he's talking about spiritual fulfillment from which one never hungers. It's interesting. The disciples, after Jesus says that, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" And Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Interesting thoughts. Life is so much greater than our stuff. And so we come to verse number 24. And as we go down to verse 27, we find that there are three illustrations to make this point. He talks, first of all, about the ravens. The ravens. Notice that verse number 24. "Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? They don't plant, they do not harvest, and yet God provides for them." Have you ever thought about that with Elijah? Who fed Elijah by the brook Cherith? The ravens. Who in the world gave the ravens their food? It came from God. Now I have this little picture in my mind that the ravens, you know, they can fly, they can go where they want to, and there's open windows in the castle, and they go into the king's castle, and they reach in, they grab some of his meat, and they take it out to Elijah. That's in my mind. Did that happen? I don't know. But God provided for them, and they provided for Elijah. He goes on, he says, "You cannot think or worry about making yourself taller or shorter." There's some of you in this room that you're rather short, and sometimes you wish you were taller. But you cannot make yourself taller. It doesn't work. If it did, Dina would be 7'3". I love her answer. She says, "I might be 5 foot on the outside, but I'm 6'2 on the inside." I love that. But there's nothing you can do to make yourself taller or shorter. If you're like me and you bump your head on something, once in a while you wish you were shorter. But God makes each of us the way he wants to, and we ought to accept what God gives to us rather than seeking to change it. And the Lord's trying to make something very, very vividly, a point very vividly to us. Don't worry about all of those things. He goes on and talks about the lily. How they grow, they toil not, they spin not, yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The lily makes not its own beauty. God does. By the way, if you're beautiful today, don't stand in front of the mirror and gloat. Stand before God and say you're marvelous. And by the way, when you really see God, you won't be looking at yourself. Interesting thought. Okay. In fact, he goes on and he says something I find very interesting. He says in verse number 28, "If then God so clothed the grass." I mean, God comes down and he talks about grass. Go out in our front yard sometime and try to count all the blades of grass. You'll go out of your mind. For some of you, it won't be a big trip, but you know, you'll be gone. But seriously, it's rather common. It's no big deal. But we find that God takes care of the grass. And then he says something about that grass I find remarkable. He talks about this grass and says, "Tomorrow is cast into the oven." Do you realize in those days, they had these little ovens. They basically sat on the ground. They were made out of earth. And they would poke grass in there and set the grass on fire and then put their bread in there and bake it. And so the Lord puts all of this into some proper perspective. Verse 29, let's look at it again. "And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind." God will provide for you. David said, I've been young, I've been old, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I've been saved for 54 years. We've had some very, very tough times. We've had some good times. There have been times that we bought steak, all of us would have taken one bite and said, praise God. There were a few times we were thankful to have a few beans. But God always took care of us. I do not remember, other than when I wanted to, missing a meal. God always has taken care of us. And he wants us to understand that. And so he gives us these verses. Let's look at verse 30. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Does God know what you need? Oh, yeah. Better than you do. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And here comes, I believe, the crux of the whole matter. And that is, put God first and let God take care of you. It works. Seek ye first his kingdom. Seek to do his will. Seek to love him more than anything else. Seek his face. God will take care of you. And by the way, he'll take care of you the best way. It might not be the way you want it, but it's the best way. We have a great God. So we come to verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The next verse is absolutely marvelous. Sell that ye have, give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. Just don't worry about yourself. Just get you a big bag that doesn't have any holes in it and let me fill it up. Give him a bag that doesn't have holes of doubt and see him fill it with the needs of your life. Then verse 34, a verse I think is read and misunderstood. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What does it say? Most people will read that, where your heart is, there will your treasure be. That's not what it says. Where we put our treasure is where we'll put our heart. You see, when we're willing to invest in something, we put our heart into it. Those of you who are parents, when you're willing to invest finances into your children, you put your heart into them. If you're selfish, you probably really don't have a whole lot of heart for them. And so my question is, what is your real treasure? What is your real treasure? Which treasures do you trust? Is that what God provides or what we seek after? What are you saying, preacher? You're supposed to stay home and just relax and let God bring stuff to you? Didn't say that. But let God take care of the provision. Let God give you the job. Let God give you whatever it is necessary. Let him do it. And God takes care of it. Amen? God takes care of it. What great, great verses here. If we get a hold on this and quit our worrying about every little thing that comes along, our tummies would feel better. And by the way, they'd be full. because God provide. Father, today, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for these verses that I find tremendously encouraging. Thank you, oh God, that we can put our trust in you, and you do take care of every need of our life. Lord, though we've spoken mostly of temporal needs and very little of eternal needs, we realize that they are even greater in importance. And so we say thank you for your provision. We pray for your blessing now to follow. Glorify yourself with all that's said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.